Betsy and Melissa. Here with the Garden Talk. What's going on? Kind of drippy out there now.
A bit drippy, yeah, but no snow. Good morning. How are you? We just wanted to remind people that normally you can listen to the recorded programs if you happen to miss it. If you go on to khns.org and go to the link to Garden Conversation, you will be able to listen to past shows. Technical difficulties today, so this show may not be recorded. And also, we want to ask if there's anybody that would like to become one of our on-air hosts to contact us through garden@khns.org. That's where you can also post questions and comments. But if you would like to volunteer to be an on-air host, that would be great. So I want to thank Betsy for being here this morning on rather short notice. We are getting into winter, and life is getting more complicated. So, Betsy, what's our question today?
Okay, question of the week. Why should we compost, and what are some ideas?
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. So composting is an excellent way to get vital nutrients into our gardens. And at the same time, we're reducing the organics in the waste stream. Compost provides plants with nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, which are the three major elements that they need, as well as all kinds of micronutrients. It adds structure to the soil. It makes the soil able to retain water better and to drain better, depending on whether you have a clay or a sandy soil. It also makes a living habitat for the microorganisms that in turn make the nutrients available to plants. It's a slow release feed for the plants, so it works very nicely over time. And there's very little runoff into streams and rivers and the ocean and so on. With chemical fertilizers, it's like a Thanksgiving feast followed by famine, and it's really hard on plants. They get too much food and then not much over time, and there's more runoff into oceans and things, and that's creating a lot of problems environmentally. Mm-hmm. Composting is also fun, but maybe that says more about people who have composted a long time than anything else.
Well, it also saves on your garbage bill because you're putting it back into the earth instead of paying for it to
go to the dump. Exactly. It's getting all that stuff out of the landfill and out of the waste stream. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why we would compost.
Okay. And composting is happening in nature all the time, so we are just continuing that in our bin.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
Okay. So there's two types of compost. You have a hot and a cold. And hot tends to be a little more complicated, so I guess we're just going to talk about the cold this morning, right?
The cold, yeah. To do hot compost requires getting up to a certain temperature and staying there over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Really hard for home gardeners to do unless they're very, very experienced with that. So we'll stay focused on the cold composting, which is what we usually do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Composting is a lot of times thought of as a rather complicated process, but it's important to realize that it's been going on ever since plants emerged onto land. It's not that complicated. Mother Nature has it all figured out, and it's nothing to be afraid of.
Okay, so you have down a couple of don'ts in your compost. We talk about, since we're going to be cold composting, you might not want to put weed seeds in, diseased plants, and meat, perhaps, in your compost, unless it's going to get really hot and kill it.
Right, yeah. And also I would recommend against putting in grass clippings unless it's an organic grass. Yeah, okay. Sometimes grass clippings are treated with what's called a weed and feed type fertilizer, which has a pre-emergent herbicide in it. Mm-hmm. And so grass clippings added to compost can keep seeds from germinating.
Oh, okay.
Those herbicides break down over time, but you don't need your garden to be the experimental
right.
place
and I've
to try
heard that.
That
with manures too, that sometimes you got to watch where you get your manures. I know
that's,
people have had problems with persistent pesticides
right
in the feed of animals.
Right, a lot of farmers will add different kinds of what they're called pre-emergent herbicides that keep seeds from sprouting so that they mm-hmm. can grow a crop that's all one thing, a mm-hmm. monoculture, and that those herbicides can mm-hmm. be transmitted through the manure. So, yep. you know, the research on that is still kind of ongoing, lots of opinions about that, but for safety in your own garden, good idea to avoid that, because once you get that into your soil,
mm-hmm.
then
it could take years.
It can take a long time to break down. What happens is that if you put a transplant in, it'll be all right. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to sprout seeds like lettuce or carrots or beets or something like that, they may not come up.
Okay. And also, a lot of times in the manure is the equisetum seeds or something. And once you get
right.
those going in your garden, forget it.
Yeah.
Right. Chickweed and equisetum,
yep.
right? Horsetail.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Horsetail, equisetum yep. is a probably the first plant that emerged on land. It's been here for billions of years. It will outlast us all.
All right. So the do and the composting,
okay.
Ben. Let's see. We usually want at least a 3-foot by 3-foot size bin or a 4x4, sort of what I use. And I use those 2x2s and place them in a bin somewhere where the sun's going to heat it up and you don't mind it if it's going to get a little smelly or a little bit like that.
Right. Downwind of your
downwind,
house is a
exactly.
good
yeah.
idea.
Right.
Yeah. And the reason for the 3x3 cube up to a 4x4 cube. You need your pile to be able to get hot enough, and that requires at least a 3x3x3 cube.
Mm-hmm.
But you also want oxygen to be able to get into the inside of the pile, and that's why you don't want to go larger than a 4x4x4.
Right, and the pallets work really well.
That's
what I've used. I just wire them together.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great way to use them.
Yep.
So as you were saying about air getting in, too, that's why you layer it. So you start off with layers, and you can do whatever you want. You got carbon, which are the browns, and so that's paper products, dried leaves, straw, that sort of thing. So you can start by putting cardboard down also, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then
I usually put cardboard in the bottom to block any mm-hmm. weeds that are on the ground from mm-hmm. coming up through the compost bin.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. It also seems to, earthworms really seem to like cardboard. So.
As it breaks down. And then you start layering.
Mm-hmm. And you can put in all of your food scraps, things from your garden, except don't put in weed seeds. Don't put in any weeds that grow by runners like equisetum or, hawkweed we talked about last week. I think it was last week. Some of those kinds of things that grow by runners, you don't want to put those in there.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that's diseased.
Right. Yep.
And then the finer you chop things up, the more surface area you provide, the faster it will heat up and the faster it will compost. So it's a good idea to grind things up if you can,
mm-hmm.
or just cut them up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chop them up.
Yeah.
So then layer it and get it nice. If you can get a little air, that's the idea. Mm-hmm. So the air can get in there and your worms and so forth. And then that, therefore, it's aerobic instead of anaerobic. Anaerobic gets it to smell a little bad. So if your compost starts to stink pretty good and it doesn't go away, it needs a little more air and perhaps carbon.
Carbon, right? Yeah. So if it's getting stinky, add carbon, which can be shredded paper and aerate it a little bit. If it's composting too slowly, add more nitrogen.
Mm-hmm. And can a compost pile be a barren tractant?
Oh, yes.
Yes. And so what do you avoid putting in there to nullify that?
Yeah, bears and ravens
meat,
and
I guess
all kinds of things. Meats are the big attractants for bears
and
fish.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's interesting. There are people who have success with mm-hmm. putting some fish in their compost bin, but there are other people who don't. So if you are tempted to put fish in your bin, make sure that you know what you're doing. Check with neighbors. If you're in an area with lots of bears, probably not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
People who have had success bury the fish inside the compost bin,
mm-hmm.
cover the yep. fish up.
Like some use an electric fence.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or just bury, you know, maybe during the summer, you know, when you know the bears are more, tend to be more in the river. You know, some people have luck. I mean, I do a little bit too, and you just bury it really deep. And I mean, they could smell it, obviously, if they're around. But
mm-hmm.
yeah. So electric fence is one deterrent there.
Okay.
Yeah, once a bear gets the idea that your compost bin is a feeding station, you've got a big problem. So you don't want to do that.
There are the critter getters, the horn, mm-hmm. the motion-sensored horn that the mm-hmm. fish and game have.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
those right. can borrow.
Those
can
work.
Borrow.
Those work,
yep.
too. Yeah.
Yep.
So your compost pile, you've layered things in there. This is a great time to collect leaves. A lot of people add seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
Seaweed breaks down and adds a lot of micronutrients, but it doesn't have any lignin, so it doesn't really add structure to the compost or to the soil when it moves into the harvested stage. Mm-hmm. But it sure has lots of micronutrients and mm-hmm. lots of calcium from mm-hmm. all of the shells and things. So,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
that's really good.
Right.
Yeah, and then you want to keep your pile damp. It seems like not a problem here, but it can be.
Yep.
Yeah, so you want to have it about the consistency of a wet sponge. If it's too wet, it won't dry. If it's too dry, it won't break down.
Mm-hmm.
If it's too wet, it gets slimy and smelly. So mm-hmm. that's when you want to add dry materials like shredded newspaper.
And you can sometimes notice that. I noticed when we went through dry spell and the compost wasn't doing anything, and so I added water or let the rain get in it, and all of a sudden it takes off. So
mm-hmm.
you can watch your compost that way.
Yeah. Then you want to add earthworms to your pile. Now, if your pile is directly on the ground, the earthworms will tend to find you. But otherwise, or when you're first getting started, go find some earthworms. I think I need a bumper sticker on my car that says, "I will break for earthworms." Just go out and, you know, collect some up. It's a great activity for kids. Then you just relax and wait. It'll take anywhere for a month to a year for the materials to break down. What you will notice in your pile when you first make it is that it will be giving off heat,
mm-hmm.
and right away the volume will decrease
yep.
a lot.
Yep. Start shrinking.
Once it's shrunk down and begins to sort of stabilize and you don't feel heat coming off of it, it's not shrinking anymore, then it's ready to turn and harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Betsy, how do you harvest yours?
Same way as you were talking about, having a screen. I made a little screen with a frame on it and put it over my wheelbarrow, mm-hmm. and then just, you know, bucket by bucket, put it on there and just, screen it out. So you screen out the chunks, and the chunks can go back in the compost, and you can have real nice soil there.
Yeah. I found a big plastic carrier container thingy that's working really, really well. And then I apply compost in the spring and midsummer, but mm-hmm. the late summer compost that I collect, I put in buckets in a covered area, because at least my thought is that it leaches out in the fall, and you really don't want plants to be growing in the fall anyway. You want them to be right. resting. So just mm-hmm. put it someplace where it's undercover, and then you've got it for next
yeah.
year.
Yep.
So if you would like any of the information on this, one really good source is a book called Let It Rot by Stu Campbell. It's available in the library, very accessible kind of a book. And if you want to email us at garden@khns.org and ask for some tips on composting, we would be glad to send that to you. So,
okay.
Thank you.
And you're also looking for other volunteers that may want to be on the show.
Yeah, it's not as intimidating as people think.
No, it's not. It's fine. Well, thank you so much. This is one of my favorite parts of the day. But thank you, Betsy, and thank you, Melissa, for coming in and helping us all out here with our gardens.
Okay.